had Drew Doughty on, defenseman for the Los Angeles Kings, the reigning Norris Trophy winner, among other accolades that he has. But he was here today with Lay's potato chips for National Power Smile Day, and he left bags behind. And I said my two favorite flavors were salt and vinegar and barbecue.
Sorry, is my mic on right now? Can you hear that?
So he left a bag behind saying, yeah, there's chips in here, just grab them. And both those bags were my favorite flavor, and I went barbecue first.
So guess who got them?
Yeah, they're both mine. Okay, I don't know why.
Need we say who got them?
It's funny, because they left four, and Andy gets two of them. Yeah, that's not a sound effect.
That's not funny, that's Andy.
Yeah.
That's me eating chips.
So anyways.
I have to chat for just a second about Dale Tallon's golf prowess. He qualified for the U.S. Senior Open in 2010 in Sammamish, Washington. Like, this, Dale Tallon's not a guy who golfs.
Wait, was he with the
Dale Tallon's
was he still with
golfer.
The Hawks?
He was on his way out.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he was a part of that cup winning team.
Yeah.
He got his name on there.
So he's a golfer in a whole different realm. He may have won a Canadian amateur when he was younger, but just that level of golfer, pro card. And so he qualified for the Senior Open, and he told me a story that year in Bratislava that he was playing so well the week of practice, and he was practicing with like Mark O'Meara and all these guys that, you know, just coming off the big tour. And he said when he got to the first tee the first day, his hand was shaking and he couldn't tee it up, so he just dropped the ball and hit a 3-wood off the tee. That's how nervous he was. All the competitive golf he'd played, and yet teeing it up in the U.S. Senior Open, that's how nervous he was the first day.
Well, some of the words he was using, I mean, I get birdie and bogey, but I mean, he just went into the clay.
Oh, he's a golfer.
Yeah.
He's a golfer.
You know someone's legit when they start dropping that kind of lingo on you.
That's not necessarily golf lingo. That's just like knowing the land of Wisconsin, which...
Listen.
Most of us don't know.
And he played a lot of golf in Chicago.
Golf lingo, okay.
I think a Rich Harvest was the course he was talking about that had similar rough. Yeah, that's a whole different level of conversation.
But it's so impressive because it's not as if he doesn't have a day job. And a day job that turns into a night job. So
it's a very busy job.
As anyone that's golfed knows, you have to play and you have to play and you have to play and you're still not good. And then you have to keep playing and you're probably still not good. But, you know, like for him just to kind of do that as a hobby and make the U.S. Senior Open is incredible.
Yeah, and I played with a kid in Philadelphia who's a golf pro who chose golf over hockey after playing in the NHL. Todd Bergen.
Okay.
Because I remember he wanted to be traded while he was playing for the Flyers in the mid-80s, and Bobby Clark was the general manager who said, who am I supposed to trade him for, Lee Trevino? Like...
Yeah.
The sport does go hand in hand, but not because hockey players... are great athletes. It's because hockey players have summers off.
Mm-hmm.
Got nothing to do with their athletic ability.
Yeah, well, if anything, it can help calm them, right? If they don't do so well out on the green, it can help with those breathing exercises.
I don't know if there's golf can be a calming influence.
Oh,
though.
Yes, it can.
It has
no,
to be.
No, I'm joking, though, but you know what I mean? If you're a competitive athlete and you're not playing well, that might not be so calming.
That club is wrapping around the tree very quickly.
But, no, it's... great.
Welcome back into Leafs Lunch.
Put a club in your hand.
Nope.
Yeah. And get that close.
No, well, you know what? I do yoga. I can stay calm. You're back listening to the noon hour here of Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050, streaming online on the iHeartRadio app. No TV, because as we're talking golf, the U.S. Open is on TSN. We had Drew Doughty on in the 11 a.m. hour, as well as Dale Tallon. One topic we didn't get to has been Connor McKenna on our sister station in Montreal. He's a host there on TSN 690, the morning show, and he tweeted out yesterday, and this is what he said, hearing a lot of rumblings that a Drew and Galchenyuk swap is coming. And he says, I'm no trade breaker, so take that for what it's worth. Nothing definitive, but sounds like the Habs would be packaging a first with Galchenyuk in the deal. Now, I'm going to say, as a fellow radio host, you're not really going to put that out unless you have heard it from a legitimate source. So it's very interesting that he says that. Drew N being on the trading block isn't anything new. In fact, we've heard his name the past month, but that has been with regard to Tampa dangling him in front of a team where they can get a defenseman. That's what we've been hearing, is that if it's going to take a defenseman, a top defenseman that they want, it might cost them Jonathan Drouin. But are you shocked then to hear that it would be a Drouin Galchenyuk thing? Like, for me, that would be a win for the Montreal Canadiens more, even if they had to give up a first round pick. I'm still thinking that's a better deal for the Canadiens than it would be for the Lightning.
It can be a balanced trade if you didn't realize where Tampa is and what Tampa needs. Like, I just don't understand from Tampa's standpoint what a first-round pick does for them right now.
It doesn't make sense, actually. And if you think, you're hearing so much right now about who and what, but if Galchenyuk, you're not even sure if he's a centerman or he's a wing right now, you still haven't figured that out, which is part of the problem in Montreal. And they're both RFAs. They both need new contracts. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're getting the mix of names.
So does Galchenyuk make you better? I would say no, because you're losing Drouin. And what the first round picks are great to have, but what's been the narrative around the Tampa Bay Lightning for the better part of the season?
Timing.
Mm.
Yeah, you might stand to lose Alex Killorn too in this, depending on how they protect in the waiver draft, expansion draft.
And they still want a top four defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Well, that to me seems, if you're going to use Drouin as bait, that's what that's for.
See, so the top four defensemen, Andy, is what I was talking about earlier. With each team able to protect three defensemen, you're going to know in teams' eyes who all of their fourth defensemen are. Mm-hmm. And fourth or fifth defensemen. So if there is a younger guy or a key guy in a fourth spot, and that's where you see the list and you look at all the lists and see how teams value their own guys, because that could be a little different than you think, how teams value their own people. And there might be that fourth defenseman that you can pick off through Vegas once those lists are released. That's going to be the most interesting part for me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That to me just seemed a little weird, but you know what? This is what I mean about this time of year. This is where you try to figure out.
But it's unprecedented because of the expansion draft.
Yeah, and that's why it's even more difficult, because some things may not make sense from a cap perspective, but you don't realize what they're trying to do because of the expansion draft or vice versa. But to me, I also find the Galchenyuk situation just pretty interesting in Montreal to begin with. I mean, do you think they sign him and try to then trade him?
They don't seem overly happy
with that season ended.
Situation.
Well, neither does he. I mean, you heard his interview at the end of the playoffs. He was that was not a good interview.
They really don't. And the last time someone wasn't, or they didn't seem happy with someone, that player got traded.
Mm-hmm.
So the general manager is clearly willing to do it. He's clearly willing to make a big trade. And to me, their timing is still tied around that guy in net.
Well, and that's why there's so much urgency, right?
There is. There's a new, even a different sense of urgency with the years you traded on Weber and Subban that accelerated to match Carey Price's age.
And you look at your division as well. Like, it's not as if this is a soft division where you can control things for the next couple of years. Tampa's going to be better. Florida's going to be better. Obviously,
Carolina's going to be better.
You know, the Leafs made a huge impact this past year by making the playoffs and what they've been able to build so far.
Buffalo should be better.
They better be better, or else.
Those chips are really good, Andy.
Can you smell them?
Like, the chips are really good. We haven't opened salt and vinegar yet.
No, I'm moving this over here. I don't want you looking at them. I don't want
They're
you smelling
really
them. I don't want you touching them.
Mark and I are into the regular ones, and the regular ones were good, but we're going salt and vinegar the next break.
No.
Don't get all the chips.
Andy wants to bring them home.
You're such a playground kid.
I am an only child.
You got the swing all the time.
Yeah.
You did.
Andy wants that bag of chips on her hammock with a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm. You know my style. When the weather is warm, the hammock comes out.
What a star-laden day. We had Drew Doughty in studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dale Tallon on the phone, and we have Darren Drager coming up.
Yeah. By the way,
I
don't know if you guys have been on Twitter for the last half an hour. Drew Doughty's comments all over Twitter.
about the Leafs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Darren Drager, who will have upset. Drew Doughty just radioed himself. By any time that you say, yeah, we've all dreamed about playing for the Leafs, all of a sudden...
That's it. Nobody's listening after that.
So now, all of a sudden, the story that's across the province in a matter of 30 minutes is Drew Doughty wants to play for the Leafs. He said it on radio.
You know, it's interesting.
I think he said he loves the color blue, too. I mean, I don't know. That was just
I played with a lot of guys from Toronto, and that was it was never a topic of discussion. It just wasn't. And they had some good teams. Mm-hmm. That wasn't what it was about, but... You played for your team, and you came in, and you wanted to beat Toronto. That's what you did. You didn't. It wasn't like everybody looking out of the corner eye saying they want to play. And that was no different for guys from different cities, from Montreal going in there, or Western Canadian kids. We had a host of Western Canadian kids. We'd go into Edmonton and Calgary when they were you know, kings of the roost out west, and it wasn't like he wanted to play for it. Just not but the way it works.
The thought of playing in Toronto drastically changes with given the state of the team on the ice. And for the longest time, it's like, get me away from Toronto. I don't want to be a part of that mess, because you can't escape it. You can't be in L.A. walking down the beach and no one talks to you about losing five of your last six games.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised, Mark. I mean, a lot of these guys have egos, and they like that attention, and they like that
exposure. Okay, but when things are going really well, there's no better place to play than Montreal or Toronto or, you know, the big market. So now that they have Auston Matthews, now that they made, you know, a splash in the playoffs and pushed the Washington Capitals, oh, yeah, I'd love to play in Toronto. That'd be great.
But
it changes a bit when a guy like Auston Matthews all of a sudden is a part of the
market. True, but I did appreciate Doughty's honesty when he said he's not sure how he'd be able to handle the attention.
Well, he only
outside
knows one
of
way,
rink.
Right?
Yeah.
He's played in one spot his whole career.
But a lot of hockey players would give you the, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But he's being honest. Like, I don't know how I would handle it. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Like, when we say they get attention, we're talking when you're pumping gas. We're talking when you're, you know, trying to have a meal with family, you know, at a restaurant. And now I'm sure a lot of them will embrace it. You're never going to say no to a kid who wants to come up and have an autograph or take a picture. But you see it. It is around the city all the time. And
Andy,
is a different lifestyle.
There were times during the Stanley Cup playoffs or in Philadelphia when every time you pulled up at a red light, you'd have people honking at you from both sides. I mean, you just did. There's high-profile times in every city. They've got a pretty nice situation in Manhattan Beach. They all live in the Manhattan Beach area. And people are used to seeing stars out there.
And he's a five-hour flight away from his family, which we all love our family, but when they're down the road in London and they want to stop
you're
in...
You're going the opposite route.
Right? Like, they want to stop in and they want tickets for a Tuesday night game or your buddies, you know,
you
like...
put an end to all that.
Listen, it's a lot of fun. And you have your handlers, whatever, but we talk about that so much in the playoffs and the Stanley Cup final and having to deal with your families. You're dealing with that all the time. So as much as it, in an idealistic way, you're playing in your own backyard, there are other headaches involved with playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It is a massive distraction. Any player I have spoken to who's from this area, like, well, Carlo Koliakovo, a player who's still playing, he's in Germany, but we've had him on the show a couple times now on TSN 1050 the last month or so. He even said that when he got traded from Toronto to St. Louis, he said he just ended up finding a new appreciation for the game. And that's never anything against your family or friends, but you never really realize how much energy you're pumping into not just taking care of family and friends to attend games, but when you go home, when you're getting together for Mother's Day, Father's Day, Thanksgiving, it's nothing but hockey. Like, why aren't you playing all these minutes? Why aren't you on the power play? Why aren't you on the penalty kill? You don't realize family asks those types of questions all the time. So then you're sitting there going, okay, I don't want to deal with it. Or suddenly it gets into your head. And then, yeah, next thing you know, you're showing up at the rink going, yeah, coach, why am I not playing whatever? Because your family, they care about you. They want to see you do well. They want to see you play all the time. But then they just start putting nonsense into your head sometimes, too. They just unintentionally metal. And I can also say that coming from an Italian family, it's not so unintentional. They will meddle. They will meddle. They just get in your business and you're like, I am moving away. I am going to Alaska. Like, sometimes that's how far you want to go.
When are they relocating or locating to Alaska? I'm part of that team.
Yeah. No kidding. All right, so we've been talking a lot about Drew Doughty, who joined us in the 11 a.m. hour and the comment he made about the Leafs, because we had to ask him some Leafs questions. We asked him what he thought about Mike Babcock, and especially as a defenseman, what's the scouting report on a guy like Auston Matthews? But then this is what he had to say, being from London and, you know, being around the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, I don't know. What do you think about playing for them?
Like, I think all of us Southern Ontario players, we secretly want to play for the Leafs. You know, we all have that kind of softball. I hated the Leafs when I was a kid. I absolutely hated them and always cheered against them. I was on my dad's team. He was a Montreal Canadiens fan, but I watched every Leaf game, and so secretly I love the Leafs, you know. So I think that, yeah, we'd all want to play here, but especially with the team, the way that they're getting better and stuff like that. But I think it just always comes down to, you know, how hard it would be to live in a city being that big of a celebrity. You know, I'm spoiled in L.A. where I walk anywhere I want, and not one person's going to recognize me, so... I might not, if I did for some reason play for the Leafs, I don't know if I could get used to that or not. I think that's the problem why guys don't sign here.
There's a lot of guys out there who are private, want to remain private, don't want to be out having a good time, and suddenly there's a cell phone on you.
Depends on the personality.
Oh, no, no, it does. But I'm just saying, in this market, like, more people would be inclined to take out their cell phone and snap a photo, take a video of what, oh, look who's out and about and what they're doing. Stop it. But I love how he said his, I wonder if Papa Doughty knows that secretly Drew was actually cheering for the Leafs and not the Habs. Just saying. We're revealing things here.
You're trying to stir up like a family issue that's not your own family?
Told you Italians, we meddle. All right, we've got more coming up on Leafs Lunch, TSN Hockey
on
Insider.
That note.
Darren Dreger is going to be joining us next. Don't go anywhere. Finally, you know what? This is a day Gord Miller should be here. I mean, I wouldn't exactly call it lunch food, but we actually have food in here. He always complains Leafs Lunch. You're called Leafs Lunch. And there's never any lunch.
You are destroying multiple bags of chips.
No, I've been taking on the barbecue. You've been making your rounds.
I've been into the plane, and I've been heavily into the salt and vinegar. Drew Doughty would be proud.
Producer Tyler came and snagged the ketchup.
Any of the boys from Overdrive that are listening right now hate us so much.
We'll leave a crumb. You know what? They don't share anything with us. Nothing is
but
shared.
But they're the beauty of having the last show of the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we got to take it now.
Well, they get plugs in there for everybody, so we're clearly plugging Lay's smile program today.
I know. I need
ketchup on that.
That ketchup bag's gone, but it's gone. No, I need to start plugging kale smoothies then, if that's the case.
Really impressive effort, though, Andy, on the chips. Like, really.
I did. I had
the technique to open the bag and that just...
And a few handfuls. I forgot how much I love barbecue chips. Like, this is the thing. I do nothing, and we know this. I work out and bring in smoothies. That is my life. And then I opened up the bag of chips, and I was like Will Ferrell, and was it Old School? When he's like, once it touches your lips.
Yeah. So good, once it touches your lips.
That was it.
Frank the Tank.
Once I had the barbecue chip touch the lips, I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop going.
You have
going
a bag of chips at your house?
Nope.
Right now?
No.
No, that's why we're destroying them. I don't have any in my house.
There's
either.
No junk food in my house. There hasn't, like, the worst I'll get if I'm feeling bad, like naughty, is Tostito chips and salsa.
Okay.
I'll guarantee you, as boring as your fridge and kitchen is, that mine is more boring.
Mm. That's why you've been taking down the salt and vinegar
Miss
plate
Susan
like nobody's
eats
business.
So healthy, it's crazy.
I know.
Like, it's crazy.
And gets on your case?
Monitors? Not gets on my case, but it's what's available to me.
I know. When you want a snack and you open up the cupboard, you're like, aw. Mm. I know. I
when
feel
you're
ya.
Looking really at a great big steak and you're having cod on the barbecue and it flakes. It was good, but it got all flaky and stuff. And I don't know. I'm healthier for it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I've made up for it today as well with the chips.
Well, these chips, I'm going to now ride the bike for an hour today. Andy Petrillo alongside Dave Poulin and Mark Rowe, our TSN Hockey Insider. Darren Dreger now joining us as Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Dregs, I'm hearing you're under the weather. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm on the mend now, although I just had a setback sitting on hold for 3 minutes listening to you guys talk about snack foods.
Are you hungry?
No. Oh. No, I just made myself a very healthy lunch, but... this happens to me on an annual basis. I think it's the wear and tear of the travel, the fact that you're surrounded by 10 million germs on every flight that you get on.
Mm-hmm.
So consider myself fortunate. I had a couple of days on the IR, but I'm feeling like I'm turning for the better today.
Yeah, you're also kind of, I know a lot of people, when the weather turns from cold to hot, they get a cold. It's just, it's very strange.
There's also a Nashville flu that's going around.
No. I would admit to that. That was the All-Star. I definitely had the Nashville flu after the All-Star in Nashville. I'll own that one. But you know what? Now, you guys remember the show Friends, of course.
Yeah.
It might be too young for Andy. But Phoebe.
Yep.
Yes.
And she got the cold.
Yeah.
And she had that deep, gravelly type of voice. And she loved how she sounded.
Mm-hmm.
See, I feel that way because I've got this big voice now.
Oh, we got Rod Smith on the line.
He stopped and tied his shoes.
You fit right in with the superstars we've had on campus today. This has just been a...
You guys are kind of a big deal.
We are sort of a big deal, Dregs. Even bigger now with you joining us.
Can you do that voice, but with the Mike Babcock accent?
I don't know if I can do that. No. I got to be in the mood for that.
Yeah, you got to work up on that.
Yeah. You guys made news, though, today. That's rare.
I liked your tweet.
Thanks.
I liked your tweet. Drew just radioed himself.
He did, and good on him. I mean, you know, he's a very honest guy.
Yes.
He's a proud Ontario hockey player, and I get it. But I've been amused by following the Twitter mentions and everything that has come on since then. So good for him. You know, he tells it like it is.
Well, we finally, you know, we appreciate when a player can just like sit back, lay back,
for
be
sure.
honest. But yeah, I mean, look, we're not trying to fool anybody here. I mean, he's not coming to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Really? Because I just checked the TSN.ca headline and that's pretty
much... No. We all know that that's not going to be the case. But I mean,
right.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. He's from Ontario. Why would he not have a love for a certain team and express that love? But that just doesn't mean anything.
Nothing.
But
good radio is what it is.
Exactly. So I've been following your Twitter, and I'm trying to keep up because I know this is the time of year where you guys are getting a bunch of information and reporting it out. So I see here that you've recently talked about Buffalo and their head coach. What do we know there?
Well, I mean, all indications are that Phil Housley will be the next head coach for the Buffalo Sabres. Whether or not he's been offered a contract at this stage is unclear, but I'm told that Jason Botterill, the general manager, had a conversation or met with Phil Housley on Monday, and I know that Jason Botterill was on the ice in Nashville because I saw him with my very own eyes as part of the Pittsburgh Penguins celebrations, which he earned, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good to see. So that timeline in the communication makes a lot of sense, and I'm also told that Housley was in Buffalo last night and may still be there, and sources out of Buffalo last night indicated that Botterill hopes to have a decision made no later than Monday. So if they met on Monday, which it sounds like they did, if Housley was there last night, maybe there today, then maybe an announcement in the next day or two is more likely than not.
How do you think he fits there?
Well, he's a former Sabre, and I don't know this, but maybe from the Pegula's perspective, that was a pretty key point of his resume. Not to say that it was criteria number one on a list. I mean, they must feel like he's qualified or they wouldn't be going down this path. I also heard Jack Capuano's name associated as potentially an associate coach or an assistant coach with Phil Housley in Buffalo. So that's another angle to this story that we're going to continue to follow. From the time that I've spent around the Nashville Predators, the return, and we clearly were doing a little digging with the uncertainty of what was going to happen in Florida before Bob Bugner got hired there and the vacancy in Buffalo and Housley being connected potentially to both. And from all accounts, in dealing with the Preds, they like Phil Housley a lot, and most believe that he's ready to jump in as an NHL head coach. I mean, the issue that some might have, the critics might have, is he doesn't have a deep resume of being a head coach, but you know, he's been around the game forever, so maybe that's enough.
Interestingly enough, Dregs, he's only got 4 years as an assistant coach in the NHL.
Yeah,
you know, from a resume standpoint, he was a high school head coach in Minnesota, I believe, as he raised his kids there. And as he builds out his staff, it's probably critical that he gets at least one, if not a couple, of former head coaches on that staff.
Right.
And you look at, you know, Pittsburgh with both Rick Tocchet and Jacques Martin being former head coaches for Mike Sullivan. I think it's a critical staff or makeup of staffs now, particularly when the head coach doesn't have head coaching experience, is the building out of that staff.
Yeah, and you know what, Pooley, I had two people, actually three, tell me about Jack Capuano as a potential fit. And I don't know that Jack Capuano, you know, received enough credit for the work that he did as a head coach of the New York Islanders, to be honest and fair to Jack Capuano, because, and this is often the case when guys get let go, all of a sudden they become better coaches than maybe what they were in the first place. But, you know, you gotta look pretty hard and dig pretty deep to find somebody who doesn't think that Jack Capuano is a very good coach. So if that is the case and he connects with Phil Housley in Buffalo as an associate or an assistant, then, you know, that's good for Phil Housley. He'll need that depth.
From one defenseman to another, Dion Phaneuf has obviously been a big topic over the last couple of days, Dregs. He is reluctant, and he won't waive his no-movement clause. Now, what do you expect from the Ottawa Senators as they try to move that contract?
Well, and that's what I expect. They'll continue to try and move it. And it's not going to be easy, but I know that there's interest in Dion.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? Oh, no. It was like he was walking and he just fell through a hole, and then we just lost him.
That hole. Let's think he fell through that hole.
That hole.
Let's hope that he didn't fall through a hole.
Did it
Andy.
But didn't it sound like he was walking and his phone kind of fumbled? So,
he didn't just get his line cut off. He fell in that hole.
Was it me? Was it the question?
Oh, he's back. Greg, he climbed out of the hole. You're back. Is he there?
Great conversation, and then all of a sudden it just clicked off.
Right.
Oh, well.
Andy thinks you fell in a hole.
I know.
We got you at, you expect them to try to move that contract.
Yes.
And then just, it was the ultimate
And then
the ultimate
I disappeared.
Hook. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do expect, I mean, obviously they're trying to move the contract, and I know that there's interest in Dion. The question is, you know, what's the price of developing that interest? You know, is Ottawa obviously going to have to take back a bad contract or eat some of the money? It seems unlikely that Eugene Melnyk is going to put his stamp of approval on eating millions of dollars from a contract that he no longer owns. But then it gets real complicated because I still believe that there's good value in Dion Phaneuf as a shutdown defenseman. I do. He's a good character guy. I don't think that Erik Karlsson develops both on ice and off ice as quickly as he has with a little bit of influence from Dion Phaneuf, because he took some of that burden off around the community and certainly in that dressing room. So he's got $7 million and then 3 more years after that at 6.5. And when you look at the market, it's not the worst deal in history, but to take it on, even though it, you know, does appear that Dion is slowing to some degree, is going to be a challenge.
Well, we were also saying earlier on in the 11 a.m. hour how unfair it was, because now the comparison's being drawn between Dion and Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, look at what a great team player Fleury is, that he was willing to waive it and Dion wasn't. But, you know, Pooley brought up a great point too, saying, well, because Fleury knows for a fact that he's not going to play, Dion can eat up, you know, some pretty huge minutes and still be a factor. And if you told Dion he was going to be the 7th or 8th defenseman, he'd probably waive it too. Do you feel that that comparison between Phaneuf and Fleury is unfair?
It is unfair because, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't playing. And clearly Matt Murray is the choice of Mike Sullivan as head coach to be his number one. That was the case late last season, and Murray, you know, earned his praise and his place by helping the Penguins win that Stanley Cup, and likewise again for this year. So that's the tough and the harsh business of hockey. Dion was putting in good time, logging big minutes, and had a key role, in my opinion, in helping the Ottawa Senators to the Eastern Conference Final. Mm-hmm. He didn't change the rules, and I don't blame Pierre Dorion or the Ottawa Senators for going down this path. I mean, that's what the expansion draft is all about, making tough and ugly decisions. But I certainly don't blame Dion and his family for saying, no. Now, we negotiated this deal in all sincerity, and we're given fair market value, and all that goes into it, we're going to adhere to the protective clauses. I get it.
Have you heard anything? We were talking about a tweet that our sister station, TSN 690 in Montreal, Connor McKenna, the host of the morning show there, tweeted out that he was hearing something about a Drouin Galchenyuk swap, but the Montreal Canadiens would send Galchenyuk and a pick. Yeah. For Drouin. We've heard Drouin's name before, but it always seemed to be in relation to getting a defenseman. Have you heard anything about this Tampa-Montreal connection?
No, and look, this time of year is a tough one because, and I don't blame those who use social media, and I believe this was Connor McKenna, was it not, with our sister station in Montreal. I mean, you know, I trust his information. He's getting it from someone who he trusts. But, you know, these things change moment by moment. I got a hard time believing that the Lightning would do it, to be frank. I also believe and understand that Tampa Bay is looking for a defenseman in return. And Jonathan Drouin has proven that, you know, he can and is an impactful player. So, not that Galchenyuk can't be, but I think Galchenyuk has more to prove. The whole Galchenyuk thing also, it confuses me a little bit. I think what happens is managers call Mark Bergevin and they ask about Carey Price, right? Bergevin goes, nah, no. They ask about Pacioretty. You know, similar. No. They ask about Sergachev, the draft pick. The answer is no. So then you get down to a place where Galchenyuk is. Okay, well, what are you looking for him? So I believe Bergevin, based on the reports we've seen from Pierre LeBrun and others, in saying that he's listening, but he's not hard shopping him. I believe that. So I think the same would apply to Jonathan Drouin.
You know, it's funny when you say that, Drags, because you wouldn't even say the name. You'd say, hey, what about your guy in net? You ever think about moving him? You wouldn't even go with the name at that point. What about that that kid that plays center that you moved to the wing? You ever think about moving him?
And if they ever have that conversation, then it's time to embrace the bigger rebuild, right? And they're not at that place yet.
Before we let you go, Dregs, I have to ask, the Toronto Maple Leafs, I mean, is this the quietest, ever since Lou took over, Is this the quietest you've ever heard the team as far as absolutely no leaks?
Yes, absolutely, since Lou has taken over. No question about that. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, because, you know, one thing that past regimes tried to do was manage the market when they could. And to some degree, you know, this management group will engage from time to time, but I trust and appreciate, you know, an unwillingness to do it on a regular basis. It's just, it's such a hot market. I feel like there's more value in stamping things out with guys that you trust from time to time than letting things just, you know, run into wildfire territory.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. With that being said, that means no news coming out of Leafs camp today.
No, I mean, not today, but yeah. You know what, again, we know what they want and we know what they're kind of eager to add, and let's see if they're capable of doing it.
All right, Dregs, appreciate taking the time.
Okay, thank you.
That's Darren Dreger at TSN Hockey Insiders. Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. But speaking of the Leafs, just because no news is being leaked from Lou and his camp doesn't mean we can't talk Leafs trade bait. That's going to be our Power Rankings edition when we return here on Leafs Lunch. Don't go anywhere as you continue to listen on TSN 1050 and stream online, tsn.ca.
Lunch Power Rankings, brought to you by WeatherTech.
It's the big picture. They're in the playoffs. Are you kidding me?
Leafs Lunch Power Rankings, brought to you by WeatherTech Automotive Accessories. Nothing protects your vehicle's floor like WeatherTech floor liners. Let's have a little bit of fun. Yeah? Leafs trade bait edition of Power Rankings. This is why we love when Pooley's in, because he does all the homework.
I like that you asked us if we wanted to have fun there.
I'm a big WeatherTech guy, by the way. We just got a full set of WeatherTechs.
Wow. Good.
For a new vehicle. They're spectacular.
Oh.
That's an unsolicited endorsement, right?
I was going to say, that sounds like a commercial.
That wasn't a read. That wasn't a read.
Really? That's actually pretty good. Well, now I'm going to get a new that car this summer, and then, you know, I want
to
be able
get
to, like, deck
out
it out.
WeatherTech head to
good
toe.
Good stuff.
So the back hatch part is decked out. It's really nice.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Okay, so Leafs Trade Bait Edition, my friend. Mr. Poulin.
Okay, let me qualify this. This is what would be of interest to me. Off of the constructed list, Frank Cervelli did most of this, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up on TSN 1050.
Right.
1050.
So TSN. The list is up, and it's got everything on there from age to numbers. So you'd factor in a lot of different decisions. What you also have to factor in is some of these names are not going to be on exemption lists or anything else, and may very well be moved beforehand. But if Sammy Vatanen's available, you have to have a high level of interest. He's 25 years old. He's a right-shot defenseman. He'd be number one on my list of what I would have an interest in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a dynamic player. He fits today's game so well. The luxury Anaheim has is they have Brandon Montour, who's virtually a younger model of Sammy Vatanen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit bigger physically, but from the right shot on down to the dynamics.
Well, Montour was the guy that Bob McKenzie was talking about halfway through the season when we were talking about defensemen becoming available. For the Leafs to go after. But then he ended up impressing so much with the Ducks, you can imagine that, no, they're actually going to keep
him. He was really
him.
Good. I had so many comments about him. So he'd be number one on my list as Vatanen because of his potential availability. Jonas Brodin is number two. He's a really interesting kid. He's only 23 years old, played in the league early. He was partnered with Oscar Klefbom growing up. So when they grew up together, they were partners on those World Junior Swedish teams, and they were so good together. So you've got to find the right partner for him, I think, because I don't think he's played as well in Minnesota as he's capable of. So he'd be number two on my list, left shot versus right shot. Travis Hamonic's name is on this list. You know, he was in a high-profile position last year. He'd be number three, the right
shot. Would he want to stay?
Well, once again, I'm just working off the list.
Yeah.
You know, there were some issues, apparently, with family issues originally.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to leave.
He wanted to
public.
Leave.
Yeah, but he wanted to go out west, though, didn't he? Like, that's what I mean. Like, would he want to...
Right.
Stay in the East.
Everyone kept talking about Winnipeg.
I'm heavily focused on the defense position here.
Yeah, clearly.
But maybe not the highest profile, instant top two pairing guy, but more of a top four guy who fits in, who moves the puck well, who skates. Brendan Dillon's an interesting name. He's got 3 years left on a deal at a good number, 3.27. Only 26 years old. He kind of fits a little bit more of the Carl Alsner, more the defensive defenseman. You know, Alsner's a guy who's a UFA. And so if that would be four and five, he's a UFA, so available. and left the forwards off this list that would be of interest to me were they were available. So I'll just stick with the five defensemen. So it's Vatanen, Brodin, Hamonic, Brendan Dillon, and then a true UFA, Carl Alsner. Dillon's always had an interest, and he's got that element. He's a tough enough kid, moves a puck pretty well, is a good size, and 26 years old. So everybody's from 23 to 26 years old, other than the UFA.
Because
you have to look at the
line.
Bandwidth for age, right? Mm-hmm. And focusing totally on the blue line at this point.
All right, we will discuss. Leafs Lunch Power Rankings brought to you by WeatherTech Automotive Accessories. Get the ultimate custom fit floor protection for your car, truck, or SUV. Go to weathertech.ca. Nothing protects like WeatherTech. What about Roman Polak? I only bring that up because going off our very first conversation in the 11 a.m. hour about knowing somebody and he's been with your team. I know he's coming off an injury, but it just kind of, my radar just went off a little bit when you talked about more of a defensive defenseman kind of guy, because that's what I had been saying about Roman Polak. This is a guy who sits back a little bit more. He's a little bit more of your grittier blue liners, and that's not all the players on the Leafs blue line have that. And of course there's the argument, well, hey, as long as you possess the puck, that means there's a good chance you're not going to be in your zone anyway, so why wouldn't you want more of those puck moving offensive guys? And I get it, but to me there's still some value in a guy that just snarls at the opposition when they pass the blue line into your zone.
And that's the element of snarl. You can use that element. That's the Borowiecki snarl. That's the that, and I think it's a very necessary part of it. You know why you wouldn't re-sign him, because then you'd have to protect him. So you let him. You wait till after the expansion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Yeah, but I think he has a role. One, there's something to be said for knowing. We've talked about the Toronto market. We've talked about this whole situation of knowing that a player does well in that situation. You know what you've got. And is that the bird in the hand, the ultimate bird in the hand, where you know you've got a true professional, well-liked, every single aspect, you're checking off the boxes, other than probably you wouldn't check off the elite speed or the elite playmaking abilities with a Roman Polak. But the other boxes, as an NHL defenseman, everybody falls in love with potential, and everybody falls in love with the attributes of skating and puck moving. There's still something to be said for being an NHL player. He's an NHL player. That's what he is. And you have to have NHL players on your team, no matter what point of the arc you're in. Mm-hmm. You have to have NHL players on your team.
Well, I get there'd be questions coming out of this operation as well with Polak. My question to you, I guess, is who would you be more interested in filling that spot in your blue line? Roman Polak, who you're familiar with, or Dan Girardi, who just got bought out by the Rangers?
I don't think Girardi would be a significant upgrade over Roman Polak. I mean, he's a little bit different. He's more of the shot blocking, penalty killing. Mm-hmm. You know, he plays a hard game, but I don't think he has the snarl, the element mm-hmm. of snarl that
no.
Polak has. He just
well,
doesn't.
Few do.
No, few do. I mean, Roman Polak plays the game hard, and we had a high level of interest of him long before he became a Maple Leaf. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch certain guys, and sometimes in the West you don't see them as much, which is why guys go on scouting trips. You know, in upper management, you go on scouting trips for a week or 10 days and you watch just the West Coast. And when they're not playing your team, because when they're playing your team, you don't watch the other team as much. I don't care what anybody says. You know, so if I would watch the Leafs play 60 times, I'd also want to see the other team play without the Leafs being involved if I were really interested in the player. So you'd go into Chicago, you'd base out of the Midwest, and you'd watch St. Louis, you'd watch Minnesota, you'd watch Colorado come in, you'd watch those teams come in, and you'd watch them play against somebody different than your own team. And I always liked Roman Polak from the time he was a young player. I watched him play in Peoria mm-hmm. when he was in the minors. There was a toughness and an edge to him that I always liked, and he's answered it. But once again, that's a really good pro player.
Roman Polak, this line from Ken Hitchcock has always stuck with me, and I think he said it in 2012 when he fought someone in the playoffs, and Hitchcock's comment after was, I don't think that's a door you want to open up. Like, you don't want to open up that door.
Great verbiage.
You know?
But it's funny, and I always try to, like, a player who doesn't play a lot, maybe doesn't log a lot of minutes, but when he's called upon, you know, goes in there. I always take the advice of, obviously, former players or people who played with him or who covered him a lot. And Kelly Chase, who covers a lot of the St. Louis Blues. He said ever since Roman Polak left St. Louis, and it wasn't like he was this stud defenseman who won them games or, you know, helped out the goalie in incredible ways, but he brought up the factor of the grittiness, of the toughness. He goes, I can't explain it, but all you do is eliminate a player who doesn't necessarily, you know, log all crazy minutes, but when you subtract him from the lineup, he felt the St. Louis Blues lost quite a bit of their bite.
So that's interesting, Andy, because they have a kid there in Joel Edmondson who can play the role, but isn't that comfortable playing it? So not only do you have to have the element, you have to be comfortable with the element. And Roman Polak is clearly comfortable with that element. It's I've seen Edmondson be involved. He's a tough, tough kid. He just doesn't like it that much.
But I remember when that trade happened, and it was all about changing who the Blues were a little bit. And I would think that was a bit of the copycat. Look how well the Hawks skate, and we can't get over that hump against Chicago that, you know, had plagued them for so many years. So, you know, I think that was one of those reactionary moves that now looking back, maybe Polak was a better fit for the St. Louis Blues than Carl Gunnarsson. You know, but you were looking at two guys who had different values, different styles. And it was a very, it was one of those very interesting
hockey trade.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Real hockey trades.
So what do you think happens here? So we just went through a list of trade bait because there could potentially be a lot of defensemen. And this is where the expansion draft can benefit a team like the Leafs, where they're in a very good position. They don't really have to expose key players. And depending on how other teams have to protect or what's going on there, defensemen could become available or be known to become available if they're not protected. If the Leafs don't make a deal, if you don't see them bring somebody in within the next few weeks, do you think that opens up the door for them to more likely re-sign a Polak or a Matt Hunwick?
I think both guys would still be in their mix regardless of
you
what they
so,
do
right?
over the next... You know, you still need, as was proven in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you still need eight defensemen to win the Cup. I mean, you just do. You have to go that deep. And within an organization over the course of the year, I think both guys could still... Two guys, two veterans, who've proven they can play here. But I think the interesting part, there's going to be names on these lists... When they're released to us on Sunday morning, I believe.
So yep, Sunday. We'll
there's
find out.
Going to be names. Happy Father's Day. There's going to be names on these lists where there's going to be a name where you go, really? Where a general manager goes, that's a guy I've always liked. I just told you a story about always liking Roman Polak. Mm-hmm. Well, there's someone on that list that somebody's always liked. And Bob Murray, when I worked for him in Anaheim, was so funny one year. He was trying to get a kid who I thought was a minor league centerman. He goes, no, I love that kid. I'm going to get that kid. Took him about a year. He got him. I mean, he liked him for that long. Guys in the business fall in love with guys. And usually they're guys that play really well against their teams. And that's who you fall in love with.
And those relationships are so important, and even more so in Toronto and when the head coach is Mike Babcock. And Andy, when you bring up, you know, do you think Hunwick and Polak could still be in the mix? I think given how Mike Babcock has spoken so glowingly about those two players, I think for sure they're in the mix. Whether or not they're part of the Leafs, there's so many moving parts, moving numbers. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that Mike Babcock loved and relied on those two guys in key situations, and you certainly saw that in the playoffs, that they would have to still be part of the conversation. Have to be.
As much as we've been praising Sidney Crosby after the win of the back-to-back Stanley Cup, I feel like we're doing the same to Auston Matthews. But he keeps giving us reason to just think that he is a natural-born leader. So Kevin McGrane of the Toronto Star had a chance to interview him. He's out in Arizona. This is where he's doing his training and skating and getting ready for the next season. But he's preparing to go to Vegas next week because he's up for Rookie of the Year. So Auston, look out, Vegas. Auston Matthews will be there. But just giving his thoughts on watching Crosby and Malkin and how he said it's changed from years past the way he used to watch the playoffs. And he said now that he's actually played in the NHL and he's experienced the playoffs, he realizes all these extra steps that he needs to take. To your point of when we were discussing the Florida Panthers, and we've said this before about a lot of young guys who win the Cup early on, and they've all admitted it. Like speaking to Eric Staal, even Sidney Crosby was one of them, that when they win it earlier on, you take it for granted, you think it's just going to happen sooner rather than later. You have a good year, you take a bunch of strides, next year you're going to take more, because that's just what happens. You figure it's linear. Nothing's linear. It's not.
Look at the guy that was sitting in here half an hour ago or an hour ago.
Well, exactly.
First, seventh, and ninth years, those are the years he missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
There were two cups in there in between. How do you think he watched the playoffs this year?
Yeah.
You know, Auston Matthews watched them in the light of I've played in those playoffs. Drew Doughty watched him in the light of, I've lifted that cup twice. Mm-hmm. I want to go back there.
And you want to do it again. But that's what I mean. So to hear Austin Matthews, just his comments on it were more of like, yep, this is what I need to do to get there myself. It wasn't so much of, oh, I mean, he praised Crosby and talked about him, you know, being a winner and being very competitive and how he wasn't even going to let Matthews beat him even when it came to the skills competition at the All-Star, which is pretty awesome. Great. But there's the tone of Austin Matthews. It wasn't, like, he wasn't, I guess, stargazing, I guess, in any way. It was more of, no, I want to be there. And that just, it just creates more around this story of Austin Matthews and being a leader, a natural born leader here in Toronto. And I think if you're a Leafs fan reading that article, you're feeling pretty pumped and you feel like you're in good hands.
I would think you're in pretty good hands with Austin Matthews. I would.
Yep.
And I, the young guys, to watch the playoffs, once again, after experiencing, that's a whole different level that they experienced. And, you know, you look at everything about this kid is real.
Do you, when you say you look at it differently, do you start to dissect, like, do you start to say, I could have beaten that team, or, hey, that's what it takes to beat that team? Like, when you say you look at it differently, or how are you doing that?
Because you've sweated in that manner. You've paid part of that price, but you realize how hard it is to pay that entire price. You know, when I asked Doughty the question about consecutive or 3 years playing 60 plus games and two cups in 3 years and the Olympics smashed in there in the middle of that in Sochi, no less, and the travel aspects of it. And he said he couldn't even lift his first beer to take a sip after winning that second cup. Mm-hmm. That's the price. Mm-hmm. But now I'll guarantee you after missing the playoffs this year, he's got that edge back in a whole different manner. His training will be different this summer. You know, all of that steps up. And Austin Matthews, it's easier to go to the gym. It's way easier to go to the gym when you've had that experience and you know why you're paying the price.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is exhausting if you can't lift your beer to your lips, I'm telling you right now.
Well, and it's
the way Pooley is lifting the salt and vinegar chips to his lips.
There's no problem there.
He's well rested.
Not been good today. I'm going to have a non-alcoholic beer tonight. That's what I'm going to have.
Liar.
No, I am. No, I bought two of them yesterday. It's a trial program.
Who buys
trial? I did. It's a trial program. I bought two non-alcohol beers because I like beers. And, yeah. And I have two every day. That's my program. But
really? Eh?
Yeah, but most days I stop at two. That's the key, right? And of my life, I've had two pretty much every day. That's my discipline.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm going to try non-alcoholic one tonight. I'll let you know how it goes.
Is that because the calories? Like...
Yeah, less calories for sure. And
or because the missus at home yelled at you.
Nope. No.
Okay.
No such thing.
Whoa.
I'm just wondering.
Andy.
No.
You're meddling again. Stop meddling. Other people's families. First Drew Doughty.
Tell me all your problems. Yeah. I want to hear all these problems. All right, get out of your vehicle lease ASAP. Over 200,000 customers per month looking to take over your lease. What a relief. Go to leasebusters.com. So one more day, really, of more silence from Leafs camp. And then the weekend, we're going to find out who the Leafs
multiply
have chosen.
Day. Put plural on days. You're not getting any noise out of there. You're not.
That's so true.
I know.
But then we have to find out on Sunday who they have protected and who they have not.
Next week should be interesting.
And then we get to debate then who they value, who they don't. It'll be interesting because even as we're just winding down the last 30 seconds here, but we asked the question on whether, because there was that one forward position, if they chose to use it on someone who's in the minors, like young guy.
There's going to be some surprises.
Or if you leave somebody exposed right now on the NHL roster. So we'll find that out for sure on Sunday. That's it for us here now on Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050, streaming online tsn.ca. Mark Rowe, Dave Poulin, Andy Petrillo. We'll see who gets the bag of chips, who gets to take what flavor home, thanks to Drew Doughty. That barbecue is mine. Scott MacArthur coming up next.